Happy Friday. Good morning. Welcome to the Sprinkles of Sped podcast. I am Allison Brumley, and I'm here with
Caitlin Lee.
and our special guest today is Tanya Bettis.
Hi.
We are so glad to have you here today, Tanya. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So my name is Tanya, and I am a school social worker in the middle school here in Basser. I have two kiddos, and a dog. I don't know. What else do you
No, that's good. That's a
want
good start. How
to
long
know?
have you been a social worker?
I've been a social worker since I graduated with my BSW in 2016, my bachelor's in social worker in 2016, and then my master's in 2017.
Almost to 10 years. You're
Yeah.
getting there.
Wow.
You're in the almost the decade
Decade.
club. Very cool. Well, we are here today to talk specifically about mental health supports for kids in schools, and I cannot think of a more timely subject right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, I would say it's a hot topic, but it is also such a necessary thing for us to talk about. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, of course.
So tell us, what does a school social worker do, and how is that different than what a school counselor does? Now, I recognize asking you what a school social worker does is like trying to put all the grains of sand from the beach in one box.
That's why, so my face just got like wide-eyed because I'm like, what do I do? I feel like I support students' social, emotional, and mental health in the building. I also help support teachers in managing situations in their classrooms. I help my administrators in supporting just like overall wellness of kids in the building. I hope that I also help staff with overall wellness in the building. It's one of my goals.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a lot.
How is it different than a school counselor?
So different than a school counselor, when you're looking at like the tiered system of like MTSS, it's more counselors are like tier one, tier two, and then social workers are more tier two, tier three. So that looks like school counselors do like all school like lessons and things like that that all kids get. And then I would call tier two something that counselors and social workers both do is like small group. And then tier three is more like that individual stuff, but also counselors do individual stuff as well. But it's usually the more like mental health heavy stuff kind of goes to the social work side. I'm glad you brought that up because I don't feel like everybody looks at a counselor and a social worker in the eyes of MTSS and how it's also a part of that multi-tier system of support.
Absolutely. I love that, we talk about intensifying interventions. And so social workers tend to be on the higher end of intensive intervention. But you also are half gen ed and half special ed. So you
Yeah.
get to see all of the kids in the building.
I do. Yes. Which this district is the first district that I've been in one building. And it's one of the reasons why I came here. And I was really excited to be because I want to support like a whole staff and a whole student body and to be able to be a part of that. And I like that this district seems to like
There's
for
definitely, yeah,
that.
being proactive
Yeah.
and valuing the support.
Yeah.
And since I have been here, we have about doubled our social workers.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think that that is so important.
So, because this is a big topic this day and age, what kinds of supports are students needing in the school setting right now? And would you say that it's changed within the past 5 years? Well, what's interesting is I think this is my fifth school year in schools. I've been a social worker longer than that, but in actual schools, it is
So that's
my
good.
fifth
From
year.
when you started to now, does it look different? And
Well, what's interesting is I started in January of 2020, so right
oh,
before.
wow. So you,
So
yeah.
it's been a wild ride in schools. But yes, I think some of the needs have definitely intensified in the last 5 years since I've been in schools. I think, some of that probably does have to do with the pandemic and kids being more isolated and things like that. And just, I think the pressures that we feel in our society as a whole, like the pressures that parents have when they come home and like all of the things that happen in our society, kids are isolated from that. It happens with them too. They feel the pressures of home and they feel the pressures of just everything going on, and I think that it has intensified the needs in schools over the last 5 years for sure.
Yeah. So do you see a lot of kids for like dealing coping skills
Yeah,
and
I do. So I think probably the biggest things that I work with kiddos on is ADHD. There's a lot of ADHD and like
I have a
insensitive.
lot of ADHD.
And supporting with like executive functioning skills and stuff. And I think the reason why I see a lot of that is because a lot of kiddos with ADHD are more expressive with their behaviors. And so it's things that like teachers and in the classroom notice more. And so they get sent my way for that. And then also, other than that, I would say the next top two are probably anxiety and depression. I see a lot of kiddos who are very anxious, and then a lot of kids who are really depressed. That's me.
It's interesting because I in my brain, this is what I think. And maybe at middle school it starts to change. And maybe as a society it starts to change. But I always associate more of those externalizing like ADHD behaviors with boys and more of those internalizing anxiety with girls. Do you think is that still true or is that like an old trope?
Well, that's, I feel like, kind of, well, I think both. It is kind of true. There, I do have a lot of anxious girls. I do have some anxious boys too, though. And I think the hyperactivity that can come with ADHD is the thing that, you know, we like have that picture of like the class clown boy
Yeah.
kind of a thing. But girls definitely can be that too. But a lot of, and also, and I think that is, we're getting better at diagnosing ADHD,
Yes.
where it used to be that like the symptoms that we would see would all be those kind of inability to focus and things with the behaviors,
Yeah.
where that can also very much be like daydreaming and just like not being able to focus more like inward on inside.
That's so interesting because I feel like it's such a huge impact, and there are probably way more kids
Yes.
that this is that are impacted by this.
And I also think it's important to talk about, I was actually just talking to a student about this yesterday, that a lot of, I think, what has increased with kids is just generalized trauma of
Oh my
different
gosh,
things that have
yes.
happened in our society, and just a lot of things. When pressure happens, trauma happens. And I was talking to a kiddo who does have ADHD, but he was explaining to me that that he feels like his ADHD symptoms are getting worse. He's like, I cannot focus. I cannot pay attention. I cannot be around other people who are being loud at all. And I actually sat down, and there's a Venn diagram of this kiddo had a specific trauma thing, and there's a Venn diagram of like the like trauma symptoms and ADHD symptoms, and then kind of like the in between and how they overlap. And I said, I'm not diagnosing you with anything. I think that this is just like a
Just
helpful
to
thing
think about.
to think about. And do you think that some of these experiences are, you know, what you're feeling? And he was like, whoa, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's that kids probably don't think of it as trauma, but we carry that so much in our bodies,
For sure.
and you know, it comes out. I mean, it has to. So kids we see that are
Absolutely.
struggling, it's not because they're bad kids or they're not disciplined or you know have a rough home life or whatever. It's just
But symptoms of other things that are not just ADHD, like symptoms of depression, can so mirror symptoms of ADHD, not being able to focus, not being able to pay attention. It's just kind of getting to the core of why it's happening, but a lot of it. It they mirror each other and have the, kind of the same, like they look the same sometimes.
yeah, I'd like anger can be from like a billion. You can have anger from ADHD. You can have anger from anxiety. You can have
And anger from,
anger.
yes, you can.
And I think that comes out with also then the dysregulated hormones that come with middle school age, high school, perimenopausal age. That's just me. But that, you know, that it's so intertwined in trying to tease out. But the strategies, are the strategies the same dip or are there different strategies?
I think some of the strategies absolutely can be the same. A lot of times with kids, what works for one kid on a strategy of like how to manage and handle symptoms at school might look totally different than another kid. Things like preferential seating, where that preferential is, it
Yeah.
depends on the kid. And then, just it kind of One of the kids that I was actually also talking to earlier this week, we were talking about ADHD and how they commonly have side quests to like to do things, and then that gets them off of like their main thing that they're trying to accomplish. And so they put like a pad of paper next to them, and anytime they have a side quest, they just write it down. So they don't forget their amazing, cool idea, but it allows them to then just keep focusing on what they're supposed to focus on.
I love
So it
that.
really just depends on the kid or
Yeah.
the person. It's not just a kid thing.
Yeah, I might need to invest in some pads of paper, Caitlin.
Me too.
Actually, that's why I have Caitlin, is because I say my crazy things like, write that down.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. So, what do social workers do when a student is in a mental health crisis? Because that's like you've been talking about, like kind of everyday stuff,
Yeah.
but what happens when a crisis happens?
So when a crisis happens at school, so let's say there is a kiddo who somehow we find out that they're feeling like suicidal or something like that. What typically happens at school is I ask some questions just to see kind of what's going on, get some more information. And then if it looks like maybe this is going to be a very serious, like if this kiddo's mental health is in crisis and they need help or support right now, we have this thing called it's a scale called the Columbia Suicide Severity Scale. And so we administer that, and it asks very specific questions about like thoughts and behaviors and like frequency and like the content of thoughts and things like that, to deter. And it has like a severity of telling you like, well, I guess how severe it is.
Severity works
Yes.
that
And then based on that, there's a protocol of having them get to like a higher level of care to be assessed for their needs. And then if the student is temporarily out of school for like hospitalization or like a partial hospitalization or something like that, then we make plans to help them and support them come back into the building. So there's a lot of that that I do as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so what supports are available in our community for students in a mental health crisis? So in Leavenworth County, supports are a little sparse, but it's just because we're a more rural
I was going to say, we're not as
community.
populated
Yeah.
as like Kansas City, Kansas,
Right.
or
Right.
Johnson County, and
But oftentimes families can access the same supports that are just in the metro area. It just kind of stinks because a lot of times it has to do with driving to get there. But here in Leavenworth County, our community mental health center is the guidance center, and I do refer quite a few students to that. Also at the high school here in Basser, we have a therapist who's contracted to come from the guidance center to the high school, which is pretty cool.
Tongi has one too in their high school.
Oh, really? I love that. I wish that we had it at the middle
I know,
school.
which is so good.
Yes, but I because there's the need, but I love that we have it at the high school. So it's awesome. So that's our community mental health center. And then we also, one of the amazing things that we have here in Basser is Blaze, which is, I don't remember what it stands for, but they are awesome and they help with like food supports for families and
I
just
mean,
all
the
sorts of stuff.
Basser Linwood
Linwood
Assistance,
Assistance Services,
something like
maybe.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. They're amazing. I work with them all the time to help get families resources that they need in a crisis.
Well, you're right on there, because that's what I was going to ask. Because I know one of
Yeah.
the cool things about social workers is that their focus can be on students and in schools, but it's also supports for a family system in general. So I was going to ask, what else can we do for families?
Well, one of the lens of social work in general, like the framework of social work, not just schools social work, it's called person and environment. And so we really look at how the environment that kids are in affects what is going on with them and their mental health and things like
With
that,
the
their
whole
behavior.
Maslow thing,
Yeah.
like, are we meeting the most basic
Yes.
needs?
Yes. And so social workers, I think our counselors do this too, but a lot of times it does go to social workers, that we help connect families with, well, like I was just saying, food, utility help, really basic. There's this amazing program that also happens here in Basser where we can connect kiddos with glasses.
Yes. Yeah, Tongi does that as like the
Actually, I think it's the same eye doctor and they're
Yeah.
in Tongi. And yeah,
Yes,
it's
shout
just
out to Dr. Volk, I think. She's our optometrist.
connecting kids to the things that they need to help them be successful at school and helping support their families and really trying to connect that bridge to create a partnership with the school and their families.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
What kinds of things do you focus on when you are working directly with a student or services directly with a student? That really depends on the kid. But really, I guess the main focus is whatever social, emotional, or mental health or behavioral thing that's going on, we work together to try to address that to help them be more successful at school, to access their learning. A lot of times that looks like coping skills for anger, coping skills for anxiety. I do a lot of like mindfulness and deep breathing, and the kids are probably so over the deep breathing with
I
me,
need deep breathing
but they
help.
know it's coming. I even tell kids that that's one of my favorite parts of my job is to teach them to deep breathe, because then I get to take deep breaths.
Right.
Not actually about them, it's about me.
Is it different at the secondary level than what they do at the elementary level? Because it feels like it would be very different.
Yes. So actually, my first time as a school social worker was in the elementary level. So I have experience in both elementary and secondary. And I feel like the difference more is the interventions are the same, but a lot of times they're more playful with kids. But I'm still playful with middle schoolers. I have like windmills in my, well, like the little
Pinwheel.
windmills in my office to like help encourage breathing. And really, when we think of kids, we think that like the little ones like to play the games and stuff and the big ones don't. That's not true. The big ones like it too. It's not cool to say they do. But all of my fidgets and my toys get played with from my middle schoolers, and when I used to work in a high school, they got played with with my high schoolers just as much as they did with the littles. But I feel like with the littles, a lot of it is figuring out how to regulate your physical body, because I think the more elementary age kids, that's where you see a lot more of the like hitting, kicking, throwing things, spitting, things like that. And then by the time you're in secondary, it's a lot more like your words.
Yes,
And so,
anger comes out a little. We've learned to keep our hands to ourselves, but we can't keep our words to
And
ourselves.
I've even said that's one of the reasons why I like secondary more than elementary. I'd rather be cussed
I feel that. Yep.
out than hit.
Yeah. But I think one of the things that comes with secondary is that I know that's probably a perception, but it feels like the hard things are so much harder. Like it's bigger, the problems they're dealing with. Elementary kids, like the problems are their friend was mean to them.
And there's still that my friend was mean to me, but then you add in the older they get, I feel like the more access they have to social media, the more dramatic things get. Friends have more access to bully through like phones and things like that. And then also kids become more aware of their family problems and like what issues are happening in their home. And then you have puberty and hormones and just all of the things. And yes, the issues do seem to become more complicated.
Yeah, just complex. That's a good word.
And one of the things that I like about middle school and high school is your ability to just kind of, while they love to play, you also can just say, hey, what is going on? And just have like a more open
Be
conversation with
real.
them.
Just be real with them. Like, you cannot do this stuff. You're going to get kicked out.
Yes, exactly.
Just knock it off.
And I think talking to kids, and they appreciate that. One of the things that I've learned the most about working with kids is if you treat them like people and you give them as much autonomy. I mean, I know that they're in school and there's rules, but you give them as much autonomy as you can within the space and you treat them like a human, and that goes a really long
Well, it just builds
way.
relationships. Then you become somebody that they can trust, that you're a safe person. And I feel like that you're not going to share hard things with somebody who's not safe.
Exactly. So now let's shift gears for you specifically. Do you ever get burnt out? And then what do you do to take care of yourself when students' needs seem like overwhelming and you have that burnout? feeling. I'm gonna be honest.
100%.
I am not really that good at
Oh, wait, me
that.
neither.
I think it's a common thing. It is a common thing. And
That's why we
so,
have to talk about it because I don't think it's particular to social workers, although I love that you're like, no, I'm not great because I feel like in general, teachers, educators are burnt out because of the high needs social emotionally from students, and we don't know what to do.
Can I also be honest about something else that
Yeah.
I feel like one of the things that I would love to help shift in education that I know it's a bigger problem and I don't really know how to help shift it is a lot of our teachers put in so many hours outside of their work day.
Yes.
And I know that there are that many things to do. So I don't want to like discount that they are that busy and there are that many things, but when our teachers and our stuff, because that's how you get burnt out, is if you don't separate. And I try to tell myself, yes, my job matters. Yes, I love my job. Yes, I love my kids, but it's still my job. It's still like I do it to help my life outside of work, and that's important too. Like I need to be able to be present in both.
Well, and I think teachers, any kind of helping, caring profession, caretakers,
Yes.
there's the physical burnout
Yes.
of all these hours worked, and teaching's a physical job. You're on your feet, you're moving, you're in schools.
Performing. Teachers are up performing all day, every day in front of kids. It's a lot of work.
So there's physical exhaustion, but I feel like there's also mental exhaustion
So
because
draining.
all this problem solving that we're constantly doing, and I had to learn this new curriculum and how do I do this? And I got to have this conversation. And then I feel like the hardest, at least for me, is the emotional burnout because you care so much.
Yes. And all the multitasking too. Just multitasking between balancing all of those things that you just talked about all at once.
And so, I mean, I think that's part of the reason we lose staff.
Yeah, I
We
think so
lose
too.
people, but I feel
For
like
sure.
it's not just education, it's all those other
Yeah.
caretaker.
It's all the helping fields. If you are in a field of like helping humans, it comes with a lot of those emotions.
Guess what? And all those fields get social workers. That's because you guys are amazing.
But I don't know. I try to the best I can balance not working too late at night if I can help it and trying to be really present for my kids. One of the things that I had noticed earlier in this school year that I was doing, because I have a 7-month-old and a 4-year-old, and having a 7-month-old kind of leveled up the amount of exhaustion of having kids.
Adding number two.
Yes. And so I realized that I was kind of disassociating on my phone and like wasn't always present with my kids. And I don't like that. And so I actually went to the new Dollar Tree that we have here in Basar. I got we call it the phone basket. And I very purposely put my phone in this cute little blue basket I got. And my husband does too. And like they're on silent and I don't look at it.
Nice.
And we make sure that we are very present for our kids. And while that can also feel very tiring, I've learned that it really has helped me and just improved my mood.
I
And I
love
think it's
that.
helped my connection with my own kiddos. And yeah.
I love that. And I actually see schools moving more towards, so I
Taking
know
care of themselves.
in Tonganoxie at the middle school and the high school both, the middle school phones are away for the day. Kids turn their phones off and put them in their bags at like 7:30, and they don't get them back out until three.
That's how it is at the middle school
Like not at
in the
lunch,
surf.
not
Yeah.
at pass, they're gone. And at
Yep.
the high school, they now can only have them at lunch and passing periods. Like they are put away. And I feel like the impact, even in one quarter of those, is huge. I walked into the middle school at lunch, and there were all these kids at tables just talking to each other and
I
laughing.
love
And
that.
last year, you walked in, everybody was staring at their own phone.
Yeah, I love that. Helping them socialize, because I think that's one of the things that is kind of gotten more difficult for kiddos. And one of the things that I help support a lot is kids with their socialization skills, because I think the more and more things are online, the harder it is to learn how to have a conversation with people in front of you. Yeah, and it's a skill.
It really is, and it has to be practiced. So if I'm a teacher and I want to access social work skills for a student of mine, how do I like How do I start that, or what kind of a conversation do I need to have?
So one of the cool things about this district is that we are like 50% special education and 50% general education, like we talked about earlier. And so there's kind of multiple ways to, and me being in one building does make it so like earlier this morning, I had a teacher say that there was a situation with a student that happened at breakfast and that she needed to just, we were passing each other in the hall, and she was like, and I need to touch base with you about that. And so sometimes it can be, depending on the need, it can be very just conversationally, can you take a look at this? And so teachers can absolutely access me that way. I also quite frequently get kids from like my reading teachers and stuff who have like the like writing prompts. If they write something that seems a little bit concerning,
I hadn't even thought about that.
teachers will like screenshot the assignment and send it to me and ask me to check in on
I
that kind of.
love
So it's
that.
great. So I get emails, conversations, stuff like that. But then depending on the need, like if a social worker is going to specifically be on like an IEP or something like that, there's more of a specific way route
Like a
of
legal route.
yes of like
Documentation.
and things. So, but I would say, especially in these two districts, I know all the social workers here, and we all just want to help. And so, just reaching out, just asking for help, seeing what it's telling the social worker what you see, and then sometimes. Not everything is always our domain, but if it's not, we will help you get to the right person. So,
That's awesome. I know, having, worked in all these buildings and all lovely social workers are, if I have a question or a concern about a kid, like, I know who I can ask that is going to have, that know the resources or is able to point me in the right direction. And I love social workers for that. We're so glad you came to talk with us today.
Yes, me
This
too.
is amazing. Is there anything else, like, if you, like, what would you want parents or teachers or administrators to know about social work, or anything else you'd like to share?
Well, I think, well, that's kind of a hard.
I know that's a
That is
big.
a big question. But I think one of the things, one of the reasons why I'm really happy that we did this is because I think there's still a lot of people who don't know what the social workers do and don't know how to access us and are just really not aware of how we support our buildings and how we support our kids and how we just support the district and the community and things like that. And so I think the more that we can get the message out there, of kind of what we do, the better. So if you have any questions, just ask.
Yeah, ask any. I'm not gonna speak for all social workers, but I'm gonna kind of speak for all social workers.
I'll speak for all social workers.
They'll yell at me later if I'm wrong. But I cannot think of a social worker or counselor in either district who does not have an open door and is willing to help in whatever way possible.
Yeah, I think that's also true. Like you said, the social workers, the counselors, the psychs, our school psychs are more than willing to help as well.
Absolutely.
That kind of social emotional realm is all of our thing. And like I said, if we're not the right person, we'll get you to the right spot. So,
Now more than ever, we need this kind of support, and it's amazing. Thank you so much, Tanya, for coming to talk to us today.
thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's
Thank
been
you.
amazing. And we missed Ann Gleason today. She couldn't join us. So, Ann, if you listen to the end of this podcast, here's your
We
shout out
miss
that
you.
we miss you. And we know you'll be here next time.
Or even looking at the chair you would be sitting in.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.